Let's talk Rangers baseball trade rumors, and really delicious ones at that. We're about to play you an audio clip of John Morosi from 670 The Score in Chicago. Listen to this little nugget that he drops.
I think there's a lot of teams that need catching. And I think that I would mention, again, Texas is one moving into a new ballpark. I think his trade value is quite good. And I think with the Cubs' internal depth there, Caratini can probably play more than what he did this year. I think there is some value there for Contreras. And there is enough teams, and again, I'll mention Texas most especially. They're going to be a team that, if Bryant ends up getting moved, they're going to be a team that the Cubs talk to, and they're also going to be involved in trying to just build up their roster ahead of the new ballpark opening up next year. So I would say Texas's farm system is solid, not great, but it's pretty good, good enough. They've got some young pitching there, which is what the Cubs need. They need some optionable pitching to help support and protect what is still a very veteran staff. I think that's a really, really good potential fit there. Texas, I think, probably better on Contreras even than Bryant, but I think either one makes some sense. I would, if you're a Cubs fan, study up on those Rangers prospect lists in the days to come, because I think that's going to be a major story of the winter.
Okay, so interesting. He's talking about Contreras, but the one that everyone's excited about is that he also mentions Bryant, because Bryant can play outfield, he can play third base, he's a right-handed bat, he's going to be 28 at the start of next season, and obviously has a history with Joey Gallo. Those guys go way back. That's a really fun, juicy rumor to think about, as you know that the Rangers are very interested in trying to acquire a bat like that.
Yeah, this one jumped out of nowhere. I was not even thinking about Chris Bryant, and I'm like, why would they ever let him go? You know, he's kind of been the face of that franchise. But Nolan Arenado signed that 8-year, $260 million deal, and if they're sitting there looking at this going, yeah, I don't think we're going to want to pay that. What does he have? 2 years of control?
2 years of control left.
And I think a year ago, he turned down $200 million. That was a year ago.
So he's a Boris guy. And I didn't think about Chris Bryant at all until last night when I saw a tweet from Evan Grant that had mentioned if Chris Bryant becomes available, the Rangers will probably be or should be picking up the phone right now. Mm-hmm. That's basically what Evan was saying. But one thing I've done a little reading on Chris Bryant, I've found out that he is a guy who pays attention to union matters, because the Cubs manipulated him in year one.
Right.
They brought him up after 9 games, if y'all remember that story.
Right.
So 9 games, they brought him up to extend his service time.
That's why there's 2 more years of control.
So he's a guy who follows the game's economics very closely. And I guess it comes down to how many teams out there, and I don't know if the Rangers are one of these teams, are willing to go, here is 2 years of Chris Bryant, you got to give up the resources to get him, and then go have the arbitration fights, and then eventual free agency negotiations with Boris.
Or pay him
like
now.
Who's in for all
pay
that?
Pay him now. You don't go get him unless you're going to keep him. But, you know, for the Rangers, what they have to think about is, all right, they've spent some time here restocking the cupboard, you know, in their farm system. Do they want to go cash all that in right now on Chris Bryant and pay him? Or do you just try to go get Rendon? You know, and so that's going to hurt the Cubs, too, because the Cubs are going to, you know, as they're out there looking to trade Chris Bryant, Anthony Rendon is available, and you don't have to give up anything but money to get him.
Yeah.
You're going to have to give up a lot of money, but you're going to give up the same amount of money and then prospects. And, you know, listening to Morosi, so if the Rangers have to give up big frontline young starting pitching to go get him, I mean, you're talking Hans Kraus, Cole Wynn, Brock Burke. I mean, guys who you're like, wait a second, we just watched the Rangers rebuild all this young talent in their minor league system, all this young starting pitching. Do you really go cash that in on a guy? It's intriguing, man. I like the idea of pairing him up with Gallo, getting their old youth baseball team back together. That's pretty exciting.
And the other thing, too, is like, you know, we make an assumption that him and Gallo like each other because they, you know, and I remember when Chris Bryant exploded onto the scene, Gallo said some nice things, and hey, I called and congratulated him. And there was all that talk about, well, Harper and Bryant are doing this, and Gallo's kind of struggling over here. So you kind of assume they all like each other. I mean, obviously, the Rangers wouldn't go get a guy if their other star player didn't feel strongly about him. But, you know, they've got a guy in their front office now with big, strong Chicago Cubs ties that knows all the ins and outs of Chris Bryant. I forgot the name of that dude that came from
Shiraz.
Shiraz came from the Cubs. And so, obviously, he's got really intimate knowledge of that player and what makes him tick and all those sorts of things. So if they are going to give up the type of stuff that Ben is talking about there, then they would feel really confident that he is a quote-unquote missing style piece.
And you have to, you know, it's all about buy low, sell high. And so you have to really have a good handle on, do you think Hans Krauss is the real deal? Cole Wynn? I mean, Brock Burke, do you think these guys are legit? Or if maybe you've seen something and you think, you know what, I don't think I can for sure say that, then go ahead and trade them. You know, if the Cubs are interested in some of your guys and they maybe overvalue them, you've had a chance to get to know them a little bit. It's intriguing. It's super intriguing. I mean, he is really, really good, and they have a massive hole at third base, so they need to fill that. It's hard to believe that he's going to be 28 in January and he still has 2 years of control. That is, did get screwed on that deal when he got called up, but this is a right-handed bat. This is a guy who this year hit 280, 31 bombs. I mean, every year he's going to hit at least 30 bombs or somewhere around that. He's at 26, 39, 29, 13
OPS
when he got injured. And then 31. I would love this, but what are we talking about here? What are we talking about giving up? If Morosi's right that the market's not going to be there because of Rendon, because other teams may look at Josh Donaldson and say, wait a second, I can have 37-year-old Josh Donaldson for a fraction of this. You know, the Rangers also got to consider they just drafted two young third basemen. It doesn't mean that they're going to stay at third base, but Josh Young is the top prospect in their organization, according to most people out there. Davis Wenzel, I mean, I don't know if those guys will ultimately be third basemen, but do they just go get a placeholder, go get Josh Donaldson, let him play, and wait for Josh Young to be up? Is that a smarter move? It really just depends on whether or not they could fleece the Cubs. And then you got to ask yourself, why would the Cubs just trade him to trade him? You've got two more years of control. Why would you just take a less-than-market package for him?
So apparently Theo had an 80-minute post-mortem after their season, because they had the Joe Maddon stuff happening. Mm-hmm. And a part of kind of what came up is, it's basically, are we about to pay $500 million to the left side of our infield? Because Javi Baez is up as well. Mm-hmm. And I think Baez, considering that he plays shortstop, you know, you flip a coin, who's the better player, but who's gives you more value and things like that. I mean, Baez is really good.
Yeah.
So that's something that they're kind of thinking. And we're seeing the Red Sox do this as well. We've talked about Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez might have to go because they don't want to go too far. They just don't want to pay that much money, you know? So you're starting to see some teams trim a little bit of fat.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the Padres go and pay whatever it takes. So it's very interesting that this balance, the thing that I go back to is something that Ben said, you could just pay the guy, Rendon, and not give up the prospects. I would try to do that first. Like, to me, I would look at door one before I start talking about this trade. That's something I can wait until free agency. I don't have to make this trade now.
Let me spin it another way for you guys. What, you know, because you do have 2 years of arbitration for him, you could roll out on those arbitration years to manage your money, and your offseason focus could be, let's trade for Chris Bryant, and then let's turn around and sign Cole.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, the first 2 years, you know, you're going to have to pay Bryant in 2 years. You know you're going to have to do that. But a lot of, you know, there's a lot of philosophy on these things where the money managers for teams look at it as, all right, well, for these 2 years, I know I'm going to be spending all this money in 3 years. For these 2 years, I can kind of manage the hit of Cole because I'm keeping him at arbitration money.
Right. And I don't think it's necessarily about next year for the Rangers. And so Chris Bryant would be a long-term get here to be a superstar, face of the franchise. Gerrit Cole in the same way. You could still go out and, you know, make some trades to restock the cupboard a little bit while also, you know, taking a major step forward and being competitive this year.
Right.
But with the way that the A's are and the way that the Astros are, I just don't think this year is the year. It would be a great year to get some excitement going and build a foundation. You know, one thing that, you know, I know Morosi's talking about the Rangers trading starting pitching. Another thing they could trade is Josh Young. I mean, if the Cubs are really looking at this going, yeah, we need to save some money on the left side of the infield. Well, the Rangers' number one prospect, I'm not saying it would be a straight-up deal.
Right, I hear you.
It would be other things. But, Josh Young, hey, we'll give you a young third baseman. He's not even quite ready yet, but could be your third baseman of the future as you guys retool. And that way you'd have an affordable third baseman on that side of the infield with Javi.
It might be like something like Young, Kraus, Wynn, DeMarcus Evans, another starter, one of those Palumbo, Brock Burke type guys, Leody Tavares.
I think
we're talking five or six guys.
For Bryant?
Probably.
Yeah, but with 2 years control.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a MVP candidate, right? He's a perennial MVP candidate.
The Cubs need young pitching, though, because you look at their rotation. It's Darvish, Hamels, Quintana, John Lester.
I think if I have to give up that much of what you're talking about, then I would be more inclined to – I mean, again, dude, they would know how strongly they feel about Young, for example, but I would be more inclined to do the Donaldson placeholder than give up that much.
You know,
that's a lot to give up.
What's Darvish's contractual situation now? I know that there's still interest between Darvish and the Rangers, and maybe they'll be reunited at some point. And I know he struggled mightily, but maybe there's a way to get him in the mix, too, in this deal.
Without them having to take on his salary.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're going to let you guys get out of this Darvish money.
Right.
Or maybe there's some way to incorporate you, Darvish, into these talks to where – because, I know a lot of people aren't big Yu Darvish guys. I am. I'm not saying he's going to be a Cy Young guy or anything. I'm a fan, and I think he'd do better here than he's done there. And I think he likes it here a lot. He's comfortable here, and I think they really like him. So
he still lives here, doesn't he?
I believe so.
I think he does.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So the other thing, too, and I guess I'm not intimately knowledgeable about their whole situation, but do they have any use for Mazzara as well as you start trying to put packages together?
I don't think so, because I was thinking about left-handed bats, and I was thinking about giving away Chu and paying for it and all that stuff, because they have Castellanos, they have Jason Hayward, they have Kyle Schwarber.
Maybe they
could use an outfielder, but they don't need a lefty.
What if they ask for Solak or what if they're interested in Calhoun?
So here's what my question is. So our outfield is screwed up because
we
don't have spots, but we don't have great outfielders either. We're putting guys out there, and so the thing that I'm wondering about, what is Solak? I mean, they're trying to operate as if Rugi's going to work out, although it is a competition. If Solak's not a second baseman, are they really going to go stick him in center field?
I want him to be a third baseman, but apparently no one feels like that can happen.
But he might be a shortstop, but you still...
He's not even a good defensive second baseman. So if he's going to be in the infield, it's going to be at second base. And then if he's going to be in the outfield, he's going to be a corner outfielder, and he's going to be a liability defensively wherever he is. Not a huge one, but you want his right-handed bat in the lineup, right?
Yeah. Yes, you have to.
But, yeah, I'm with you. It's confusing hearing all this stuff about Rugi, right?
Yeah.
Hearing the love. I mean, and it certainly
– but John and Chris sound completely different on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're not talking. They obviously know. But John talks differently about Rugi than Woody does.
Right.
I thought John was doing the tough love bit, though. That's what I thought.
They've had to try everything. See, this is Woody's first year of this frustration, and I know he knows the history, but it's different when you've lived through it for four straight years.
Would you have rather had Elvis's year or Rugi's?
Boy, you know what?
That's not a bad question.
I mean,
I do.
Elvis took the year off for some reason. I'm not sure why.
I do.
That was weird, man.
One of the things we talked about yesterday that is intriguing is just Joey Gallo. Just go back to being a first baseman. We realize you're our best outfielder. But you're a gold glove caliber first baseman.
Right.
And imagine Chris Bryant at third and Joey Gallo at first.
I'm horny.
Oh, my God.
I'm horny. I can live with Elvis and Rugi farting around with those two guys on the other corner.
And I liked what Woody said about giving Guzman a chance, but it's like we need to start expecting things a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is where Mazzara bums me out. You know,
I would say, though, this might be confusing. Some people might not get this. If you did get Chris Bryant and you had to trade a ton of prospects to get him, which you would, right? And you do go get Gerrit Cole, it would be tempting to just say, all right, we're going for it this year.
Hell yeah, let's go.
But I also think with as good as the A's are and as good as the Astros are, you've still got more holes. You got a hole in center field, you got a hole at catcher, you got a bunch of left-handed bats who aren't really that good defensively. I don't know what's going on with Elvis. I feel like the timing's not right. I would still go ahead and pursue a trade of Mike Minor because whatever you give up to the Cubs, you could restock that cupboard to some degree and then retool and go for it? I mean, this would still be a huge stepping stone year,
right?
And a lot of excitement in a new stadium with Chris Bryant, Garrett Cole, but I still think they'd be too far away.
What have I told you that you're batting, that your 2, 3, 4, 5 went Bryant, Calhoun? No, it'd go Calhoun, Bryant, Gallo, and Solak.
And you can get Elvis in the back part of your lineup.
And you're
finally
going, yep, and you're going right, left, right, left.
Man.
And those, all those guys can stroke.
That'd be incredible. And the other thing is, if you know, the Rangers have made a lot of changes. Chris Woodward's brought in a lot of changes, the daily hitting meetings and, you know, all the analytics that they're using now. And you're right, Shiraz, that familiarity with Chris Bryant, they may look at it and say, hell yes, go get this guy. I don't care that we got it. He's perfect for what we're doing. So it's going to be a fun offseason. The Rangers have opportunity, and they have money, and they should be in the forefront of any of these big deals.
I can't believe how good we just made the Rangers.